Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast. We are back with another, what do you want to call it, Brad? A mini episode? A mini-sode?
Mini episode.
Mini episode.
And this that was is coming it. Out. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
It was very mini. We're coming at you the Monday after Thanksgiving, but we're actually recording this 2 days before Thanksgiving. So, Brad, happy pre-Thanksgiving to you, my good friend.
Right back at you, my man. Also, we're recording this like a day, let's see, 1 day before Bob's birthday?
Yeah, we are.
Because you're the 24th, right?
I am indeed.
Hey, nailed it. Film and Whiskey Nation, I want to hear big shout-outs from my boy, Bobby Book. Get those birthday shout-outs out there.
The big 3-1.
Yeah, dude.
So listen, we're going out of order in terms of how we're releasing episodes. Normally, we always do our regular episodes on Mondays, but we released the Tom Hanks, The Terminal episode on Thursday to go along with our Hanksgiving theme. But we don't quite want to drop the Thanksgiving theme yet. Brad, as our listeners recover from the food coma that they've just gone through, I want to hear from you real quick. Like, what is your platonic ideal of a Thanksgiving dinner? What do you like? What do you pass on when you go to Thanksgiving?
Of the food or the experience?
Oh, of the food. Like,
okay. The platonic ideal of a Thanksgiving dinner is massive, just big homemade buns or rolls, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. I'm down with Hawaiian rolls. Like, I'm not against them. I just really prefer like the really big homemade rolls.
Sure.
Right. You slop a just heaping, if it's not at least half your plate, you're doing it wrong, amount of mashed potatoes. You make a big bowl in the middle, throw just a crap ton of gravy on it, put corn in it, grab as much turkey as you can, and then you take that plate with like three rolls, turkey, mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, and you cut your rolls open, put a little bit of butter in, and then you just slop as much of everything else that's on the plate into the roll and eat it like a sandwich. That is the platonic ideal of a Thanksgiving
I love meal. It. Everything you can fit between a roll that you've cut in half. That's the platonic ideal.
Yeah, dude, that is it for me. What about you?
Well, my wife and I have been talking about this, and it's kind of been my hot take on Thanksgiving for years now, but I think that turkey might be my least favorite food at the Thanksgiving table.
Like, honestly, dude, there's a reason I throw it in with the mashed potatoes and gravy.
You have to have something to keep it moist, because no matter how you cook the turkey, like, it's going to dry out. And honestly, like, if someone brought a rotisserie chicken to Thanksgiving instead of a turkey, I'd be fine with that. It's like, it's the same flavor. I don't need to have turkey. And if you made me choose between like all of the sides or the meat, this is probably the one meal where I'd be like, yeah, give me the sides. Give me the stuffing. Give me the mashed potatoes. Whatever else, you know what I mean, like a green bean casserole or whatever. I'll eat all that and pass on the turkey.
Yeah, I will say I'm normally with you. Throughout the years, there's been varying levels of moistness to the turkey at our family Thanksgivings. But I will say, when turkey is done right and when it stays moist, I genuinely like it on its own. But for the most part, white meat turkey, it's just so hard to keep from drying out.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, man.
Well, one way that you can keep yourself from drying out at Thanksgiving is to have a little glass of whiskey alongside your meal. And we've got a really interesting fall-themed whiskey that we're drinking today. Here's the fun part. I have not told Brad a single thing about this whiskey. I've been working behind the scenes with the distillery. And the whiskey that we're drinking today is called Bird of Courage. It's from Tamworth Distilling in Tamworth, New Hampshire. A distillery that I had never heard of until a few weeks ago. They're a very small operation. We have this whiskey poured out in front of us. I gave Brad a sample, but you are going into this absolutely blind, correct?
Oh, 100%, dude. You just texted me and we're like, hey, we need to jump on for 10 minutes and drink this whiskey. And I said, all right, let's do it. That's how much I know about this whiskey.
Well, we're going to go through this whiskey, Brad, and then I'm going to tell you after the fact what makes it so unique. So we've got it poured out in front of us. Brad, I want to hear your thoughts on the nose of this Bird of Courage. Now, I will tell you right before you dive in, this is a 5-year whiskey and it's clocking in at 92 proof.
Bob, do you remember years ago in the land of film and whiskey when we did an interview with the one and only Josh Larson?
I sure do.
What was the name of the whiskey from Chicago that we drank?
So that's not a whiskey. It's like some kind of a liqueur. It's called Malort.
Bob, I'm getting some strong Malort vibes here.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything else about the notes.
All right, so the first thing that I really notice here is it's really woodsy. I think that would be the word that I would use. And I understand where you're coming from with the Malort thing.
Oh, no. I just hit it. It's gin.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of juniper here. Like, it smells like pine a lot, like pine tar.
Yeah. And okay, I think I can get it down a little more with it now that I've, like, placed it. That it just smells like gin.
It absolutely does smell like gin. Like it, and I get some notes of like sage and thyme. It really smells like woodsy herbs to me.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. It has just a very fresh, like walking through the forest right after a rain type of feel to it. Like if you just grabbed a bunch of pine needles and shoved them up your nose, that's kind of what I'm getting here.
Underneath that, though, I get a little bit of like a saline kind of, almost like a... I don't know. How would you describe this? Not like gravy, but there's definitely like some sort of savoriness going on here too.
Yeah. Did they take like a packet of McCormick brown gravy mix and throw it in the barrel?
It sounds like you are not a fan of this so far, Brad, but we're going to go ahead and give it a sip. I want to hear what you think of the taste here.
Yeah. I mean, before I get into the taste, I don't care for gin a ton. Mm-hmm. So that is I'm outing myself right now, but let's give it a try.
Well, that's interesting. Huh. I'll go first while you're sipping.
Yeah.
Really thin mouthfeel, not unpleasant until it gets to the back of your palate. And then all that woodsiness kind of comes back through. It does not taste like gin. It tastes like pine. And when you swallow, I think that kind of almost Malort flavoring comes out on this for sure. Like it's, man, I don't know how to describe it. It's not black licorice, but it has that sort of like, almost like tannic thing going on that, oh man, it's like if you steeped your black tea with pine needles, that's kind of what I'm getting on the flavor here.
Yeah, honestly, Bob, based on the nose, I was not looking forward to this. It's actually a decent palate. It is so vastly different than any other whiskey I've ever had that I don't really know what to do with it. I can't categorize it in my brain. But you're right. It is very woody. It reminds me less of gin once it's in my mouth. I think that if it struggles in any area, it really is the finish. Mm-hmm. It kind of turns almost like a chalky sweet for me.
Mm.
Like, what are the...
Like Necco like, wafers?
Like bottle cap, wafers. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Okay.
Like barely fruity, but sickly, chalky, sweet. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
See, for me, I keep getting these little like wisps of some sort of like flavoring packet. And you were joking about the McCormick thing, but this, like I got almost like the little MSG packets from like a pack of ramen noodles. Like there was just a touch of that on here. And Brad, I'm going to go ahead and reveal what we're drinking here today because I really want to hear your reaction. So this product is called Bird of Courage. It's from Tamworth Distilling. And what they do, what I can find about Tamworth online, even from their website, is that they just like to do really weird experimental things with whiskey. So they'll start out with a base whiskey, and then they will infuse it or blend it with some sort of product that you would never think would go with whiskey. And what they did for this was they literally cooked an entire Thanksgiving meal, and then they infused this bourbon with the Thanksgiving meal. They put it into a vacuum evaporator to get all the bits out of it. And then what came out of it was this. So this is literally called a roast turkey flavored whiskey. So like on their website, I'm going to read you what they put about this product. They used apples and cranberries. They used celery, corn, parsley. And then they finished it off with a legitimate roasted turkey. And they just, I guess, dumped it all into a vat with this whiskey and kind of pulverized it a little bit, got the bits out of it, and that's what we have in the glass today.
Bob, This is, at the very least, the most unique whiskey experience I have ever had and might ever have.
This is so weird. I don't know how to, like, so I reached out to this company because they, you know, they're on Instagram. They're pretty active. And I was unaware of what their lineup looked like. And then I get this press release and they're like, hey, we'd love to send you a bottle of this. It's a roast turkey flavored whiskey. And I was, I read it and I was like, I don't know that I want to drink that. And then I was like, what am I talking about? Like, we have a podcast. Of course I'm going to drink this. This is like a brilliant thing to mash up with Thanksgiving. So I got to say, Tamworth, if nothing else, you guys are doing some really, really unique things that no one else in the industry is doing, for better or for worse.
Yeah, honestly, at the end of the day, this is going to sound like an insult, and I don't want it to. But this is eminently drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not bad. If you told me all of that, I would tell you, Bob, that's going to be a bad whiskey.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's, I can say with certainty and confidence, it is not a bad whiskey, and that we have had worse whiskeys on this podcast.
We 100% have, that are not like, trying to put a whole Thanksgiving meal into the whiskey.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't, I'll give it its props. It doesn't taste young. It is fantastically unique and interesting, and it's not your typical bourbon that everybody else is chasing after. So honestly, Tamworth, hats off to you, man. You guys are doing some weird, funky, cool stuff. I'm in, man.
All right, so knowing what goes into this now, knowing that there is like a whole Thanksgiving meal in here, is there anything, thinking back on it or maybe re-nosing it, that you can actually pick out? I didn't want to mislead you up front. I didn't want to tell you like, oh, keep an eye out for these things, because then you'd find them. You know what I mean? Like, if I call your attention to it, you're going to notice it. But honestly, for me, I knew what was in it, but I also really did get those kind of like saline, roasted, basted turkey notes on here, you know, in addition to the sort of like sagey, rosemary, thyme, kind of pine flavor profile.
Yeah, I was going to say, the seasoning that goes on a turkey, I think, kind of came through. And the other part for me that was interesting, that you talked about them having apples in there, I feel like the finish of this tasted like a dried out apple. I think if I had to finish, or if I had to land somewhere on the finish, it kind of reminded me of like eating dried apples. Mm-hmm. And it genuinely wasn't bad. It wasn't like my favorite thing in the world, but it was interesting and unique. And to go from such a savory, when I say spicy, I don't mean like pepper spice. I mean just like the herbal spices. Mm-hmm. To go from such herbal tastes into kind of a sweet bit of an apple finish was unique and fascinating. And genuinely, I don't know. I'll give it a score, Bob. If I had to score this out of 50, like we normally score our whiskeys, I think I would give it like a 28 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Not something that I'm going to buy every day, but something that I would genuinely bring out and be like, hey, try this. It's fascinating.
Well, and I never want to like, you know, demean a company. I don't want to make it sound like I'm insulting them by calling something gimmicky. You know what I mean? Because like a lot of work clearly went into making this, and it seems like it was very much a handcrafted kind of thing. But at the end of the day, like, there's a reason they're releasing it at Thanksgiving. Do you know what I mean? Like, it,
yeah,
this is only a whiskey you drink at one time of year. And if you're going to have a quote-unquote gimmicky whiskey like this, I think it's worth having a bottle just for the story behind it. And you can tell people, like, yeah, there's turkey in this whiskey. And it sounds like something people would be like, ew, gross. But you try it, and, like, legitimately, to say that it's not bad is a pretty high compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like that YouTube series, Will It Blend? But this version is, Will It Still Taste Good? And the answer, in the case of Tamworth Bird of Courage, is yes, it still tastes good. Well, not the best whiskey I've ever had, but it's solid.
Well, we want to say thank you once again to Tamworth for sending us this super unique sample of whiskey. Brad, I know that this is coming out after Thanksgiving, but since we're recording a few days early, happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. I hope it's a good one.
Hey, man. Happy birthday and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
We will be back next Monday with another regularly scheduled episode. But until then, I'm Bob Book.
I'm Brad G.
And we'll see you next time.